First, though, we're going to welcome Chip Yates, who just set a record last week by going more than 200 miles per hour in an electric-powered, battery-powered airplane. My plan for the next 15 minutes is to talk really, really fast. Chip's going to talk really, really fast, and you should tape it and run it back slower later because we got a whole lot of stuff we want to fit in here. Good to see you, man.
Thanks. Yeah, you got to be speed listeners, too.
Yeah, you really do. I suppose everyone who's ever done something nobody else has ever done before has had to ask the question, you know, like, what were you thinking when you had this idea?
Yeah, it occurred to me right when the red lights were coming on saying, don't push the batteries any harder, you know?
Yeah, the decision point.
Right.
So what's the idea? When did you come up with this? And what were you thinking?
Well, when you say it like that, Bob, you make me seem crazy.
Well, you know.
we had success with electric motorcycle and had the Guinness Book of World Records over 200 miles an hour with electric. There's something about me in 200 miles an hour. I don't know if I can ever go faster. It seems like a hard stop there. But we retired that in September of 2011. And I took a month to think. And then we came up with the idea to fly an electric airplane across the Atlantic. And to do that, you need to come up with all new technology. And that's what we've been working on.
Is your bag the go really fast thing? Is it the electrical power plant thing? Where does it all come from?
No, it's not necessarily the go fast thing. Yeah. I was a professional motorcycle racer, so there is some of that. But it's got to be go fast with a twist. You know, it's got to be the go fast after having overcome a lot of technical hardships, after pushing limits forward.
Right.
You know, I don't have kids, so sort of, you know, what's the legacy? It's, can you move technology forward during a lifetime? Can you make a mark?
You used the same power plant that you had in the motorcycle when you went, what was it, 190-something, right?
Yeah, we went 201, but the official, you had to go backwards, so it was 196 at the end of the day. So irritating.
So and at that time, did you know you would be trying this in an airplane, or did you not have anything else to do once you went 190 miles an hour on a motorcycle?
No, the airplane was just sort of in the last few months, you know. We said, hey, let's build an airplane. But yeah, moving the power plant over is half a function of me just being a cheapskate, because it was a $30,000 electric motor, and half that we knew it really well, and we knew it wouldn't fail.
And how'd you pick the Long EZ? Whose is it? Did you find it somewhere and figure who are we going to sacrifice? Oh, there's one.
You can thank the internet. Yeah, we found it in Dallas, Texas. I flew out there on Southwest. I liked the airplane, bought it. It had 850 hours on it, so it was I knew it would fly.
Mm-hmm.
I took the wings off and then put it on a U-Haul and drove it back to California in one shot.
Had you ever you'd never built an airplane before or anything like that or flown an airplane before, right?
Because oh, no.
You just got your license in, what, May?
No, I got my license 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks? Oh, no, you did not.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah, July 12th, so almost just over 2 weeks ago, I got my pilot's license.
And then, oh, my God. And then you, so you probably took lessons for, what, a month or a couple of weeks?
Yeah, we did it in a total period of 2 months. We flew about 6 days a week, and I got it after about 56 hours.
Yeah.
But, there was a race between when I'd finished the electric Long EZ and when I'd finished my pilot's license, and it was neck and neck. But we pushed as hard as we could to try to make it here to Oshkosh with something that had flown.
And that was the deadline that when you started, that you wanted to get this done for Oshkosh?
No, when we started, it was just, I want to get it done, and I'm naturally a person who wants to get it done fast. But then we're working with Eric Lindberg and the Charles Lindberg Foundation, and they invited me as a speaker to Oshkosh. And so we said, of course we'll speak. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And then they said, you know, this electric plane you're building, could it be done in time? And I said, sure, we'll push. And they said, well, could it be painted in time? Well, yeah, we'll paint it. Well, could it set any records before you bring it here?
No kidding.
So it just kept building on itself, and I just kept stepping up and making my guys, and we worked 16-hour days, you know?
Was there any part where you said, you know, this is too complicated, and, you know, batteries can be dangerous. Maybe we should slow down a little bit? Or is that just not the thing for...
Yeah. I don't know. There were a few times when, you know, so the airplane would be looking really good. Everything was coming together. And then my pilot's license was looking bad. And then I'd put time into the pilot's license. The plane would stall for a week. So it was neck and neck. There were a few times where I thought we're not going to make it. I always knew I'd come speak and witness Oshkosh. I'd never been here. So I knew I was coming. But what would I have accomplished by then? And I really want to bring a plane that had flown and preferably had done something noteworthy before bringing it here. I want to show people here something new and interesting. I don't want to just bring an idea.
Yeah. So walk me through the day, this, you know, I don't know what, it dawned bright and sunny, and it was a good day to take an electric battery airplane up and try to go really, really fast.
Yeah, it was. So I got my pilot's license on July 12th, and on July 14th, we taxied, tested it for the first time at Inyokern Airport.
Had you flown the plane before?
No, hell no.
And then why would you want to?
Yeah, well, don't bother me with details. So I'd never flown a Long EZ or any Canard. I mean, how many planes have I flown? I have 56 hours, you know. So Yeah, so the 14th was a taxi test. The 16th was a high-speed taxi test on the runway. Mm-hmm. The 18th was the maiden flight. And the night of the 18th, we tore it all down, made sure it was safe, recharged the pack. And then the morning of the 19th at Inyokern, there was dead winds. We had China Lake Naval Air Weapons Research Station, who's right next door. They were tracking us on their radars, mm-hmm. so they were ready. Yep. It was about 8 a.m. The Kern County Fire Rescue Team, we had two fire rigs out on the field. We had California State Assembly woman there. Yeah. We had a big group of people, and the pressure was on to go up and do something noteworthy and bring it back safe.
See, this is like in home building, they always say, first flight, don't invite a bunch of people.
I didn't.
Because it puts a bunch of pressure on you to go fly.
See, this was the second flight, Bob.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. So walk me through. Well, let's talk about the battery pack, first of all. That came right out of the motorcycle. But, I mean, how big is it, and how smart do you have to be to throw? Because anybody can, right? Just throw a bunch of D-cells together. Is
yeah,
that how it works?
I wish. Yeah, I mean, this was another thing. It was sort of like, you know, NASA-type batteries, you know, 40,000 in batteries. You know, I had to save pennies for 6 months to buy this thing.
Huh.
But, yeah, I built the battery packs myself for the electric motorcycle. They were, it's a 450-volt pack, so it's quite a powerful and deadly pack. It can put out 600 amps continuously, and that supports 258 horsepower electric motor that's in the Long Easy.
Right.
So, you know, it was just a little too convenient having that pack on the floor, ready to go. But, you know, it was an old pack. We had gone through Bonneville and set the world records on that pack, and mm-hmm. it had been beaten up and it was kind of tired. And I knew that, but it was sort of use that battery pack in the airplane to try to make it to Oshkosh or don't, because I wouldn't have had time to build a whole new one. So it fits in the back seat of Long Easy. Very, very easily, and it weighs 230 pounds, so it's not a big deal.
And most of us have a throttle we push in or out. You have a knob that you turn,
just
right?
Just a little rotor. It's
that
a little disconcerting.
Wrong, man.
Yeah,
it just seems wrong.
You know, think if this knob pops off in my hand, I got problems.
That's right. So you're ready to go. You're shooting down the runway. Walk me through the rest of this.
Yeah,
deal.
It you know, the thing is so powerful. So it weighs 1,240 pounds with me in it. So it's lighter than a normal Long Easy.
Yeah.
And it has twice the horsepower of a normal Long Easy. So as you can imagine, it's a rocket ship. It's a complete rocket ship. So in the first flight I took off and I was climbing out at 120 knots, you know, with 40% throttle.
Wow.
So for the world record flight, I thought I'm going to climb out slower and save my battery pack. So I take off and rotate and climb at 35% throttle. So, I've never seen a precedent for that where you have an airplane that you're taking off from a runway and you're not using full throttle.
So, and that's a plane that can take it too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
It's just
made to go like that.
It's just
that
a beautiful
too,
plane.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, you rotate the canard and the main wheel stay on the ground another 300-400 feet, and then the whole plane takes off. Yeah. And it was so docile. It just flew. I mean, you know, I'm a very inexperienced pilot, and I flew it and made a dead stick landing in it. So if I can fly it, anyone can fly. It's just a brilliant design, you know.
So you're zipping along, and you're ready to go for it. Right?
Yeah, so I'm climbing out, and again, another strange thing about this is it has so much horsepower and it's so efficient that I'm actually turning the power down in my climb. So I turn the power down, so I'm climbing at 80 knots or so, because I didn't want to waste batteries.
Yeah, yeah.
So I climb up very slowly and carefully to 2,000 feet over the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a Cessna 182 following me, chase plane, just make sure everything's cool.
They can go 200 miles per hour and follow you.
Yeah, he had a little trouble, but I lost him. He was about a half mile behind me at the end of the day. But we climbed up and I made a 180 turn, and people can see this on the video. It's on youtube.com/ChipYates, and it says World's Fast Electric Airplane. But it's a very nail-biting video because I do the record run, and I'm getting up. I'm about 190 miles an hour easily, and I'm only using about half throttle.
Wow.
But the battery pack being so old was giving me some red lights, warning lights. Hey, man, you're pulling this battery pack down too low. The voltage is too low.
Yeah.
And if it goes down too low, the batteries will invert, reverse polarity, and then they fail. And so I had a decision point as I was flying.
When they fail, what happens when a battery fails, right? We're not talking about you're standing there with jumper cables, right?
Well, they fail according to what we call the Sipowicz principle, which is they break open and fill the cockpit full of an acrid-smelling electrolyte.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, they fail safe.
Okay.
But and so I was faced with this decision point where I've got red lights. My voltage is at 290 volts. It's down from 428, which is a big drop.
Yep.
And if I go from 290 down to 270, the batteries fail. So I'm very close to failing the batteries, and I'm at 190 miles an hour. So what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
You know, the regular person would back off.
You think?
For gosh sakes, don't blow the batteries up.
Right.
And I considered that for a brief moment. And then I rolled the throttle on 100%, ruined the battery pack, and punched through 200 miles an hour like anybody would. So I held 200 miles an hour for 15 seconds or so, and China Lake validated it on their tracking radars, and then I shut it down and headed back for the airport.
And so what you're saying is you're not a regular person.
Regular people are sensible.
Yeah, right. And so was that a dead stick landing?
It did become a dead stick landing.
See, yeah.
So as I turned towards the airport, I still had power. And I was going to do a flyby, a little celebration. And I got halfway over the runway, about the beam of the tower, and I lost all power. And I had to turn to make a dead stick landing. And you could see that on the video.
I only got a second or two left. But now from here on, the next step is what? A refueling? Aerial refueling?
Yes.
How's that going to work?
We're building our own 100-foot wingspan plane for me to fly over the Lindbergh route.
Yeah.
That we're
going
to fly over the Atlantic electric plane. To do that, you have to be recharged by UAV battery packs. It's a crazy scheme that the Navy's interested in.
Is the technology already there?
It's right there.
It's already there.
Absolutely. So the Long Easy, being a pusher aircraft, we're installing a refueling probe on the front of it, and we're flying up behind our 182, which is trailing a tether, and we're connecting to that and recharging.
Give me the website again where folks can go right now, I imagine, and see the video.
Right now.
Is it out now?
Yeah, exactly. You just go on YouTube, youtube.com/Chip Yates, and it's the top video. It says world record electric long easy with dead stick landing.
This is awesome, man. Good job.
Thanks, Bob.
I can't wait to be like you someday.
Oh, God. Give me a break.